wanted to give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next, as long as Mr. Lindy can stay with us, he originally is only scheduled for 20 minutes, but anyway, as long as he can stay with us, why, there could be views of Mr. Gerald Salenti of Trend Research, and he, of course, analyzes what's going on. He's very well known, certainly in the talk show circuit, but he runs a private institute analyzing what is happening. And, of course, he had predicted this financial collapse that's upon us long ago. Mr. Salenti, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you just pick up the story? Certainly, where are we now? We're being told, you know, why we can see some light at the end of the tunnel. And then, of course, you know, well, it's not going to be much longer. Oh, we'll have a little bit more trouble, but we're going to come out of this just stronger than ever. What do you think? Give us your opinion.
Well, you know, you mentioned it about illusion being king and people living in denial. They're like little children and they don't want to grow up. And they grasp on to hope. And this is no time for hope. This is a time for reality. And the buzzwords now that they're pushing out there in the business media that people are repeating over and over again are green shoots. Green economic shoots. Hello?
Go right ahead.
Yeah. Green economic shoots of prosperity. And they're pointing, of course, to the stock market and the financials that have gained some strength. And this is a false flag recovery. What we're looking at, of course, is the results of some of the $750 billion worth of stimulus aid that came under the Bush administration, and the approaching $2 trillion already worth of stimulus packages put together by the Obama administration, and the money's going to the financials. So of course there's going to be, you know, some profit shown in these stocks. Give me, you know, several billion dollars of free money, and I could show you profit too. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's criminal, actually. It is criminal what's going on today with the way that Washington is stealing the taxpayer money and doling it out to their buddies.
Well, I certainly agree with you, but really what concerns me is, of course, you have somebody like Mr. Paulson who comes from Goldman Sachs, of course, who makes sure that the man who's in charge of AIG is going to be heavily invested in Goldman Sachs. That's Mr. Liddy. And then of course, the fellow in charge of AIG gives all this money. I mean, what, a $12.5 billion to AIG, to Goldman Sachs, supposedly, because of some the derivative contracts. We don't even know what these contracts are all about. They've transferred, I don't know how many tens of billions of dollars to Wall Street simply because AIG was too big to fail. I think it's too big to maintain myself.
Well, the whole too big to fail is a big lie. And you pointed it out with Goldman Sachs and Henry Paulson and Ed Liddy and Lloyd Blankfein, the current CEO of Goldman Sachs, was the only person to sit in on that bailout meeting whereby Goldman Sachs got 100 cents on the dollar from our government.
Well, it really, where is the outrage from the people? I would think people would be furious about what's going on. This is our future and our children's future, and they're simply giving it to the very people who created the problem. The people who created the problem, I think, should be punished. I mean, they should certainly be fired. And, of course, those banks should be simply, I would think, it's broken up. But we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Gerald Celente from Trade Research, and of course he is analyzing what's going on. We were simply talking about the massive transfer of money from the American taxpayer through AIG, which we're told, oh, it's just too big to fall, too big to fail. But then they're giving this money to the major banks who now they've gotten, you know, I think some of them got $10, $12 billion each. And then they're showing a profit, and everybody says, oh, things are great. Look, they got a profit. And as Gerald simply said, if you give him a few billion dollars, he can show a profit too, but it's not their money. It's the American taxpayers' money that's being used to bolster their stocks and their bottom line. So what's going to happen?
Well, just one more point about this big lie about too big to fail and talking about AIG. Also, some of the money, as we know, went overseas to banks such as Societe Generale, Barclays, and Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank, for example, got $12 billion. And, of course, they had to get this money immediately, as you remember, because if AIG failed, the whole financial markets around the world would collapse. Well, what difference did it mean to Deutsche Bank to get $12 billion? They have assets worth over $2.5 trillion. So that $12 billion that they got, that just goes into the pockets of the rich guys. It has nothing to do with bailing out the system. It's bailing out their buddies. Where does it go from here? Well, they're bankrupting America. And what people are wondering, is this nationalism? Is it socialism? Well, no, it's neither. You know, socialism is egalitarianism, sharing the wealth among the society. This is what Mussolini called fascism. The merger of state and corporate powers, plain and simple. America is turning into a fascist state from once being the world leader that championed free market democracy.
Well, I am very, very concerned that the president keeps talking against the big banks, and yet he does everything he can to help them. He puts their people into key positions in our government, and then they transfer the wealth of the American people to Wall Street. They keep saying, oh, this is not for Wall Street, this is for Main Street. But all you have to do is look and see what's happening. They say one thing, they do exactly the opposite. I'm all in favor of the free enterprise system, but this isn't free enterprise. As you say, this is fascism, an alliance between corporations and government. And that, I think, is very dangerous. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Gerald Celente, and he's certainly, I think, is hit the nail right on the head. He said, you know, we're not moving towards socialism. We're moving towards fascism. Fascism is what they had in Benito Mussolini's Italy, a close alliance between the corporations and government, and that's what's going on today. As they steal the future of the American people and transfer literally at least $100 billion to Wall Street in the name of, oh my goodness, we have to honor these contracts AIG had, and the simpler thing to do would have been simply, you're going to fail. They say these banks are too big to fail. I think they're too big to survive. AIG was an insurance company. But certainly, where there is no obligation for the American taxpayers to cover for terrible and foolish mistakes, it seems to me, that Mr. Celente, that the longer we keep interfering in the free enterprise process, why the longer this whole financial crisis is going to continue.
Well, it is going to continue. Just as you mentioned, the longer we stay into it. And why is President Obama doing this? Because he's one of them. This is the reason why you go to Princeton, Yale, and Harvard, to keep the system going. And this is the gang. It's the Wall Street gang. They've hijacked Washington in broad daylight. And you don't have to, this is no conspiracy theorist. Look who's in place. You mentioned some of them before. such as Henry Paulson. Look at Timothy Geithner, a former Robert Rubin protege. Of course, Robert Rubin, where was he from? Goldman Sachs. Where did he go to? He was the Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton. Who's in there now? Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary of Bill Clinton. What was Larry Summers and Robert Rubin well noted for? Dismantling the Glass-Steagall Act, the banking act that was put together during the Depression to prohibit banks from becoming brokerage firms, insurance companies, casinos, essentially to gamble. And these are the same people that deregulated the industry to make it possible for these so-called derivatives and other exotic financial instruments to be gambled. So kind of asking to have Geithner and Summers and Orszag, the budget director, fix the problems is kind of like asking Al Capone, Machine Gun Kelly, and Meyer Lansky to win the war on crime. The same criminals that caused it are now there making it worse.
I certainly agree with you, and I think it's so important that people understand the Glass-Steagall Act kept the banks from writing the derivatives and doing all the irresponsible things that brought on this crisis, and the man who supervised that was doing away with it was Larry Summers, and now what is he, chief economic advisor to President Obama?
Yes, and as we also saw, when they brought up the issue of how these companies like Citigroup, who we're bailing out, are raping the public with their usury laws on credit cards. They're up to 30% if you don't pay. There's a photograph of Larry Summers falling asleep at the meeting. That's how concerned he is. And Larry Summers, what did, you know, they always say how brilliant he is. He's brilliant. Yeah, he's brilliant. He worked for a hedge fund last year, showed up one day a week, and got $5.2 million. You have to be really brilliant to do that. These people are brilliant for sucking their way up to the top and failing their way up to the top. They keep failing at one thing after another, and they keep getting promoted higher. There was an article in yesterday's New York Times about Timothy Geithner. What a fraud this guy is. He's giving away no bid contracts worth up to $70 million. No bid contracts. To friends that are in the BlackRock group and others. So this whole thing is a criminal enterprise.
But the average individual really doesn't understand. I mean, they made this whole financial situation so complex that most of them just sort of shake their heads and say, we're just going to have to trust the government. My fear is that they're going to continue trusting the government until there is no freedom left at all, till our nation is bankrupt. Well, in fact, we're already bankrupt, aren't we, really?
Yeah, we are, actually. It's a good point. And it's only going to get much worse. Again, the people are going to pay for it with their lives, basically. They're going to be, we're indentured servants to the Wall Street gang. And all you have to do is look at the facts again, who's in there and what they're doing. So what we're looking for is, that's why we're very bullish on gold at the Trends Research Institute. We're not telling people to invest in it, we're just saying what we're forecasting. We're looking at, this is much bigger than just an economic unraveling. We're really looking here at the decline of Empire America. When you look, the country's going berserk, literally. You're seeing people committing these crimes, blowing away their whole families, neighborhoods, you know, going into community centers and killing people. You're going to start seeing, as we're seeing it right up here in Kingston, New York, a little river town north of New York City. The Key Bank, right around the corner from me, was robbed on a Friday, and then they robbed it again on a Tuesday, just a few weeks ago. You're going to start seeing people commit more of what they call senseless crimes. Why are they going to be senseless? Because the people are out of their minds. You have kids that aren't graduating high school, over 50% in major cities. And on top of that, the poor families that they've been, the hand that they've been dealt to be born into these families, drug addicts, many of them to begin with, and now these kids having no education, no jobs, drugged out on things that we never heard of, are there going to be senseless crimes? You bet there are. And we're going to see a big rise in crime. We're going to see gangs start expanding, actually taking over small parts of the country. You're going to start seeing them taking over little towns. There's not going to be enough police out there. So we're looking at really a breakdown of the system, and the system is being run into the ground by a two-headed, one-party system that's only concerned about themselves, their own power, their own greed, and their ability to get reelected so they can stay in office and continue the lies that they've become accustomed to.
Well, you know, I think it was so interesting that the Republicans are so concerned about Obama's large spending, and I think they justifiably so, but when they were in power, they were pushing George Bush's massive spending program. So there seems to be a certain amount of hypocrisy there. When you're in power, why you object to what the other party is doing? When you're in power, it's spend and spend, elect and elect, and that's what the Republicans did with George Bush.
Again, it's the same, you know, it's just a different crew. When you look at Obama, we're calling him Backtrack Barack. Look what he did with the war in Iraq. When he was candidate Obama early on, oh, he was going to end the war as soon as he got into office. Then it went to 10 months, then it went to 16 months, now it's up to 18 months, and now they're talking about it longer than that. Look at President Obama and candidate Obama. On Easter Saturday, when few people were watching the news, he asked for another $84 billion to wage his wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. He added 21,000 more troops are going into Afghanistan. His liberal constituency would be bashing Bush left and right for doing the same things. Look at Obama's stance on torture, Bush-era torture. It wasn't as though he released this information. He released it because the American Civil Liberties Union had a suit that could no longer be protected, that they no longer could keep in place. So they had to release it. And what does he say? Well, that's behind us. Let's move on. Let's move on? Boy, if I break a crime, they'll be after me for the rest of my life. But not for the big guys. It's one hypocrisy after another. And this war in Iraq is an immoral war. It's being fought for reasons that have been proven to be false. There were no ties to Al-Qaeda, and there were no weapons of mass destruction. Whether or not they knew about it is academic. It's an immoral war. The reasons were false, and the American people, by supporting this war, are also part of that immorality for not speaking out and letting it happen.
Well, I share your concern, but what can people do today, Gerald? I mean, you paint a bleak picture, and I agree with everything you said, but what can the American people do? Faced with the fact that we're not going to get the truth from ABC, CBS, and NBC, or many of our commentators out there, we're certainly not going to read the truth in the New York Times or the Washington Post or even in the Washington Times, which I love, the great newspaper, but they delete a lot of the important information too. How are we going to get the truth? How are we going to get the American people to become involved, and what can the person who's really concerned do faced with the problems you mentioned?
Well, we write about it in the Trends Journal, and we've been publishing since 1991, and we're noted for the truth in trends. We're political atheists. We look at things for what they are, not the way we want them to be. What can people do? Start thinking for themselves. Demand an intellectual revolution. Stop listening to these clowns and comics on TV, these big mouths that know a lot about nothing and speak as though they know about everything, and really make up your own mind and become active locally. That's where it all begins, getting together with like-minded people to push for positive change.
All right. How can people get in touch with your organization, Trends Research?
Oh, they could go to trendsresearch.com. That's trendsresearch.com.
All right, fine. And Cynthia, it's got a lot of fascinating information there. Are you going to have to leave us here?
I'm sorry, Dr. Stan, I do.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate so much your being willing to come on. It's always a pleasure having you, and I hope we can have you again in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
God bless. Okay, well, our guest has been Gerald Celente from Trends Research, and he certainly is one of the people who's speaking out. Give us a call. We're going to have open lines, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course we're going to have open lines for the next hour, and so we can talk about whatever you would like to talk about. Certainly, all this talk about the green shoots that are coming up now, suggesting that the whole financial crisis is going to end is simply window dressing. The financial crisis is going from bad to worse. More people are losing their jobs every single month. More people are losing their homes every single month. More of our major corporations and businesses and factories and small businesses are closing down here. And we're in for some very difficult financial times. Anybody who honestly believes that Mr. Ben Bernanke, who is the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, was telling the truth when he actually said, oh my goodness, things are going to get better later this year, Mr. Ben Bernanke is not telling the truth. But then nobody in government is telling the truth. They cannot let the American people realize how bad things really are. First of all, of course, if General Motors, Chrysler go into bankruptcy, which they may very well, why, of course, their pension funds, they will be transferred to the federal government. And the trouble is, if you transfer those pension funds to the federal government, where is the federal government going to come up with the money to pay those pensions? Well, there is something called the Pension Guarantee Benefit Corporation, the Pension Benefit the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, and the thing is that they don't have any money. They've run out of money. They've been collecting money from all the various major corporations to guarantee the pensions for a long period of time, but so many corporations have actually gone bankrupt or closed down, and there was no money to pay the pensions, that all those massive funds that they had collected to guarantee pensions just aren't there. So basically, if Chrysler and General Motors go into bankruptcy, it will simply bankrupt the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. And then, of course, what they're going to have to do is simply, if you have a pension, perhaps with General Motors or Chrysler, you're going to end up maybe getting, if you're lucky, 30 cents on the dollar, if they can come up with the money by taxing all the other corporations that still have pension funds. But this begins to cascade as more and more corporations have to give more and more money to government to pay off the pensions of more and more people. And soon you get into a situation where you begin to run out of money. And so then what do you do? Well, you've got to begin to print money. You've got to be able to create money through the credit process. You've got to be able to create money electronically. And this is just what happened in Zimbabwe under American direction. You saw what happened in Zimbabwe with the runaway inflation. And when the inflation rate finally reached a rate of 186 trillion percent a year. Now, that's not a billion, that's not a trillion, that's not quadrillion, that's not septillion, that's septrillion rate per year. They finally just gave up on the currency, and they've started using other currency, and everybody who had anything tied to that currency lost everything they had. But remember, this was simply a social experiment brought about by Henry Kissinger, who promised the people of Zimbabwe that if things ever got bad, America would come to their help. And you've seen what a great job our State Department's done. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, this is going to be open lines for the rest of the hour. I knew that Gerald Celente would not be with us for more than 20 minutes, but I wanted you to hear what he has to say, because I think he's a fairly astute observer. But for open lines, we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about. The number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'll talk about whatever you'd like to talk about, the economy. Maybe you'd like to talk about the swine influenza epidemic in Mexico. And, you know, if there's really this terrible problem down there, what they would do, logically, they would quarantine Mexico, after all. That's what you do when you have somebody with a highly communicable disease. You quarantine them. You insist that they stay at home and not go out. And the people who are there, of course, certainly have to be watched very carefully so they don't get ill and continue to spread the disease. And so you would quarantine an entire family, and they would all have to stay there until they either recovered or till they died. That is how you handle a highly infectious disease. So what have we done? Well, of course, we're told that down in Mexico, why they're closing the schools, they're closing the restaurants, and those are good, sound public health policy procedures. But is there really a danger? Well, of course, I was reading that we hear about all these deaths down there, but only 20 of them, you're not hearing about this, but only 20 of them have actually been attributable to this special type of influenza. Those are the ones we've actually tasted. Yes, a lot of people have died, but people are dying all the time. What about the people who die from the swine influenza, this entirely new organism that had never existed before, that suddenly has just shown up? Well, the 20 of them, they've been able to verify it, that these people died from that cause, and all the rest of them just died. And you're reading all sorts of scare tactics. This is sort of like the swine flu epidemic that happened during the times of Gerald Ford when he wanted to get reelected, and he wanted to appear to be a great leader, and one military recruit died, and a few people got some sort of a swine flu epidemic, and they set out to actually immunize everybody in the country. They immunized 20% of our corporation. They stamped our population. They stampeded the people down to get the vaccination shots, and over 100 people got Guillain-Barré disease, which is a progressive paralysis. I don't know how many people died of the swine flu, but only one person, pardon me, I don't know how many people died of the swine flu vaccination, but only one person died of the swine flu. 100 people permanently or partially or completely paralyzed because of the vaccination. At least a significant number died from the vaccination. Until they finally realized that there wasn't any epidemic. It was all a wag-the-dog situation. It was all created, hysteria created by the media. And that's what they're doing now. We know that they're really not, they're not believe all the hype that they're putting out there. How do we know that? Because, of course, what they would do if they really felt that this was a highly communicable disease that was going to spread throughout the world is they would isolate Mexico. They would cut off all travel to Mexico, air travel, ship travel. There would be no trucks coming from Mexico into the United States and no trucks going from the United States into Mexico until this whole thing was quieted down. This is what they do, for instance, when they have a breakout of the avian influenza among birds. They actually kill. They killed at one time about 1.5 million birds to stop the epidemic. Now, I'm not suggesting we kill people at all, but I am saying that you would isolate the whole country if you really were trying to stop the epidemic, and they're not doing that. They're talking about this terrible crisis. They're creating fear in the minds of people. Why, my goodness, there are 11 cases over in New Zealand. But, of course, they've only tested 3 of them. The 3 people who, the 11 people had gone over to Mexico, and of course 11 had come back. They had flu symptoms. They only tested 3 of them, and of course nobody's died over there. Nobody's even been very sick over in New Zealand. But you read over and over again, my goodness, there's a case in Denmark. Well, maybe they actually tested out and it was seropositive. We don't know, but I can tell you one thing, and that is they are creating a tremendous amount of hype, and they knew exactly what was coming down the line. If you've not yet read Bill Sardi's article, or let me suggest you get it, you go onto the Internet and simply type in Sardi, S-A-R-D-I, and then swine influenza. Bill did this over the weekend. He called me a couple of times over the weekend about it. And basically, there was an article simply in a Texas newspaper on the 19th of March telling about a massive program, a trial of vaccination all across the country that was going to occur on the 2nd of May. That's just 4 days from now. This whole thing was planned ahead of time, but of course, we can't tell the American people that. And first, they would want to trial vaccination. They don't have a vaccine. They have the Tamiflu. Tamiflu, of course, produced by, well, we'll be back here in just a moment and welcome your calls. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we've got Steve calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Steve. How are you doing?
Okay, real good, Dr. Stan. I appreciate you letting the people out there know that, the flu occurs all the time, and it doesn't necessarily mean it's the swine flu.
Absolutely, and I think that they're playing this thing for all it's worth.
Right, Dr. Stan. The other question I have for you is a year or two ago, the U.S., they came up with these new energy weapons that they claimed they weren't allowed to use them overseas. They had to test them on the American people first to find out if they were, if they were allowed. Then I think they have to test them on the American people first before they can use them overseas. Did you ever hear that report?
Oh, well, I've heard of the energy weapons. I really haven't heard about that specific thing, but certainly I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they have been experimenting on the American people with a lot of things, and of course they just love to experiment on anybody who's foolish enough to go in the military, because, of course, once you go in the military, they can do whatever they want to, and they've destroyed the lives of so many of our servicemen with experiments. In fact, anybody who hasn't ever read the report that came out of the Veterans Administration in 1994, we call it the Rockefeller Committee Report. And basically, this committee prepared a report. I tried to get the woman who wrote it up to come on my program. She was frankly afraid to come onto my radio program. But basically, they simply pointed out all the macabre experiments they'd done in our military and civilians right here in the United States. I don't know anything about the energy weapons per se, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if they were going to experiment on our military and our civilians before they'd allow them to be utilized elsewhere. I do know that they have amazing weapons that we will never hear about because they keep everything secret from the American public.
Right, Dr. Stan. Well, my concern is, and I feel pretty positive of this concern.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. It's going to be open line, so we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. We have Steve on the line right now from Pennsylvania asking about the energy weapons. He's heard of them. He doesn't know too much about them, but I've heard of these weapons. I've heard some of these weapons that actually will tend to almost paralyze people. They're really totally incapable of even moving when you're, of course, exposed to these various beams. But go right ahead, Steve. What did you want to say?
Yes, the energy weapons that I'm concerned about is even with I'm a ham radio operator, so it's possible to direct the RF energy using reflectors and whatnot. And I know the military can turn this into an exact science, where you can shoot it at your hand and it won't it won't turn the skin any different color, but it'll actually make the blood inside that, you know, if you shoot it at your hand, you'll get a, your blood will boil with inside there, and then of course, if you leave it there too long, you will get a blister from it, but, what I'm saying are these energy weapons can, be used to, you know, if shot at the chest or the head, to, you know, after you've been hit by one, the signs may be very similar to the fact that, well, maybe you have the flu and, maybe you need, you know, penned up with the rest of the people that have flu symptoms. There is no way to tell if a person has the flu or not unless they do a culture. Am I right? And it takes them a couple of days to do that culture.
Well, that's right. And they, it takes a fair length of time because these are very, very sophisticated tests. And because, of course, there's all sorts of influenza out there, but they're looking for specifically this. It's an H1N1 influenza virus. It's a type A influenza virus. H1N1, that's the specific one they're looking for. There are a couple of other variations, but that is the one. It's a combination of a swine flu, a North American swine flu influenza, and Asian swine flu influenza, and avian swine flu influenza, and a human. It's never been seen before. I think it was probably cooked up in a laboratory someplace. They do this sort of thing. They actually create these new and terrible diseases, and then they will use them experimentally. How do we know that they do that? Well, we carry a book written by Dr. Garth Nicholson, who has somewhere between 600 and 700 peer-reviewed articles, and in his book, Project Daylily, he tells about what they did in Huntsville, Texas, where they used these experimental products on the prisoners there, and then, of course, they got loose into the guards, and the guards brought it home to their families, and they had just so many people coming down with these degenerative or supposedly degenerative neurological diseases, multiple sclerosis, anterior lateral sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, and these were all brought on by the mycoplasma infections that they intentionally introduced into that prison. They did everything they could to suppress that information, according to Dr. Nicholson. Several of the young men he trained when they were in medical school had gone on to become pathologists. They were the state pathologists. The bodies of prisoners who died in prison were supposed to be taken to the state pathologist. And when they didn't go there, they went to the military labs, and the doctors complained about it and brought that and made an issue out of it. They were both killed, as were several other people that Dr. Nicholson had contact with. So they will stop at nothing. The last thing they want is for the American people to know that they do these experiments on the American people. Anything else, Steve?
No, that's all, Dr. Stan. But if you could find somebody that knows anything about these newer energy weapons, I would appreciate it if you could get them on.
All right, fine. Thank you very much. Well, let's go to Dan, who's calling from Pennsylvania. That's Dan calling from Pennsylvania. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Hello. Stan?
Yes, you have a question.
Yes, I do. You said something very interesting there a while back that, you know, if they really wanted to contain this thing, they would, you know, lock the borders and quarantine Mexico.
Right.
But if they didn't want to contain this, they're doing exactly the thing they should do.
All right, fine. Or maybe they know this is not a big deal as they're making it out to be. I don't know. We'll know a lot more before long, but I think you're absolutely right. If they really wanted to contain it, they would do the correct thing. If they wanted to contain the AIDS epidemic, they would have done the right thing. They absolutely refused. Over, you know, probably 40 million people have died. Another 50 million are infected today. 5,000 people throughout the world die of AIDS every single day because they've absolutely refused to do what was medically proper to control the spread of a sexually transmitted disease. So I think you're absolutely right, Dan.
I remember when they did talk about quarantining the people that had it, and that was back in the 80s. When it first started.
But you don't even need to quarantine them. You need to just identify who has the disease, do the contact tracing, find out who had the disease, who is giving it to others, break the spread of transmission. And they absolutely refuse to do that. They, in fact, instead of having premarital HIV testing for anybody who wanted to get married,
yep.
You know, they stopped doing premarital testing for syphilis so they could justify not doing premarital testing for HIV. And all across America, people are getting married and contracting this disease from their partner who either knew or didn't know they had the disease. I mean, this is the most incredible thing, that not doing the mandatory prenatal testing and the neonatal testing they should be. They're not doing routine testing before people go into hospitals. And, for instance, in Botswana, where they have just 46% of the pregnant women are infected, they want to do routine testing. And the World Health Organization and the AIDS experts throughout the world say, oh, you couldn't do that. You'd drive the disease underground. We can't do routine testing. They have all the excuses, but the real reason is they want this disease to spread. And we'll have to wait and see what this...
I heard this on the radio here this afternoon on the NPR here, that there was a flight from Cancun going to Montreal, and it stopped in Philadelphia, I guess, to refuel. There was a woman on there who had very severe flu symptoms. Well, they took her off the plane. She's in the hospital now, and they were testing to see, you know, the CDC to see what comes of it. Well, they gave all the, there was 140 people on the plane, 140-some. They gave them all questionnaires to fill out so they keep track of them, and the plane kept on going. So if this is first stage of the mutation possible down the road, they're just letting it go.
Well, what they ought to do is simply cut off all flights to Mexico, say
exactly.
No.
That's my point. And I mean, we're gonna react when it's already too late.
Well, let's see. Maybe this is not as infectious as we've been led to believe. Maybe it's a lot of hype, and maybe it's something serious. But the thing is, why aren't they doing what is logical at this point? And certainly you want to stop all cruise ships going in there. You would certainly want to stop all plane flights in and out of Mexico. So they're not doing it. Obviously, they know something we don't. Anything else?
Logic is something that our government officials do not base any decisions on.
Okay, God bless.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Stan.
Good
Bye-bye.
Point, though. Let's go to Rich calling from Hollister. Hi, Rich. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Rich. How are you doing?
Good. I have two questions. One, is it possible for species to pass on a disease to another species? Like, how does a swine get the bird flu?
Well, they don't. See, the only way to do this would be in the laboratory, and that's the thing. Certainly, there is a swine flu influenza. In other words, a pigs get influenza, and, of course, very rarely does it spread into human beings, but it never goes from person to person. In other words, if a person should, by some rare chance of fate, get influenza from a pig, it's usually very, very transitory, and he doesn't give it to other people. But they have means by which they can actually make these diseases, which formerly were just unique to one species, spread it into human beings. And, of course, they can do this in the laboratory by altering that. And that's what they did with AIDS. That's how they were able to get these animal retroviruses, which had never infected human beings before. So they would infect human beings. And how do we know that? Because we have all the studies from the Centers for Disease Control and something called the Special Virus Cancer Project. They could never let the American people know that they'd created this horrible epidemic for population control. If you want to check it out, there's a book called Full Disclosure, written by Gary Glum, based upon what he was told by a man who was dying of pancreatic cancer who worked on the government project. We have the book Project A Lily by Dr. Garth Nicholson, telling about his experience and, of course, what he knows about the actual production of this disease called AIDS. We carry another book. We carry Project A Lily. We carry the book AIDS, the Crime Beyond Imagination or Crime Beyond Description by Don Scott, goes into how they created the AIDS epidemic. And we even have copies of the Special Cancer Virus Project, which was put out by the CIA. They wanted to destroy all of them, and of course, with so many things with the CIA, they didn't do that good a job. So we actually have copies of these special reports put out by the CIA telling how they were going to create new diseases. But you're never going to hear about that on 60 Minutes, I promise you.
One more question. If there is a true swine bird flu, how long would it take to make a vaccine for that specific flu virus?
6 months to a year. But remember, of course, we talk about the influenza vaccine. They try to get everybody to take it every year. They always get the wrong organisms. The influenza vaccine that they get people to take doesn't do any good. And they use all sorts of hype, and they tell you 36,000 people die every year of influenza. They're not dying of influenza, they're dying of pneumonia. You know, and suddenly it's usually people, older people with an altered immune system. If they'd build up their immune system, they wouldn't be dying, but they're not dying of the influenza. But they have to use those figures to frighten the people into taking the influenza vaccine that contains a full dose of mercury that's destroying the minds and fertility of so many of our people. It's one of the greatest frauds of all time, and they know it. They just want the American people to know.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, fine. The book we were talking about was The AIDS, The Crime Beyond Belief by Don Scott. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to talk to you. Right now we have Robert calling from Gilroy. Hi, Robert. How you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, Dr. Stan, I just wanted to report to you that I was listening to the Bob Brinker Money Show on Sunday. And do you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay.
He's the fellow who always says...
On that show, several callers called in to report to Bob Brinker that they had seen reported on CNN that three vials of experimental virus went missing from the Fort Detrick bioweapons lab about 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I've read that. I've read that same thing. I have no question at all. So why are we creating these terrible diseases that could decimate most of the world's population and then not having them thoroughly guarded? I mean, why did we send people up into the permafrost to dig up, you know, bodies that people who died during the great influenza epidemic, Spanish flu, 1918, 1919, where between 20 and 100 million people perished? Why would we bring that virus out and begin culturing in our laboratories and sending it all over the world? You have to ask yourself, are these people incredibly stupid, or are they totally diabolical? And I share your concern. I think that that report is accurate. I've seen similar reports, but the government's going to investigate. Remember, that's the same government that investigated the anthrax letters, the anthrax deaths right after 9-1-1. But did you notice that the only senators that got the letters happened to be Democrats?
Yep. Dr. Sand, I'd like to leave this conversation by quoting St. Paul out of the Ephesians, and he says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places."
"For therefore put ye on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless. And that's one of my favorite quotations, and certainly I hope that you... It's Ephesians 6, as I remember, 11 or 12. Get it out and read it. "For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore put ye on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And ladies and gentlemen, we are living in evil times. There really are evil organizations out there. There really are people who worship Lucifer. Now, you can go up on the internet and just Google in Gnosticism. That's Gnosticism, G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M, and you'll find out that this is a very prevalent religion. Why don't we ever talk about it? Why did our ministers tell us about it? Why don't they ever tell us about the Lucis Trust? Well, I can suggest, if you have a search engine on your computer, Google in Lucis Trust, Lucifer, and you'll go directly to an article where they say, oh, you know, there's some people who say that that Lucius Trust is an outgrowth of the Lucifer Publishing House. And then they say, well, there was a Lucifer Publishing House, but they changed it. Lucifer is the angel of light. You know, Lucifer means light, and that's why it was the Lucifer Publishing House, because, but some people didn't understand, and so they changed the name to Lucius Trust. But there's a link there, at least if they haven't taken it down, probably have since I've been talking about it. Seems that they must listen to my program, because every time I talk about things, they pull them down off the Internet, but there's a link to an article written by somebody about Lucifer. And they will tell you that Lucifer was a good guy, that Lucifer was as an angel who came to Earth to suffer for mankind. And that all of this talk about how bad Lucifer is wrong. Lucifer, it really is the good one. And, of course, you get into the background of the Gnostic beliefs. They believe, of course, that Lucifer was the brother of Jesus Christ. And, of course, he is the one who has real power in the world today. And that's why they worship him. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And as Robert had said, we are involved in a spiritual battle. There really are satanic and Luciferian organizations out there. They're Wiccan organizations. We hope you'll go to our website. You'll get our material. You'll understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle. And behind the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers and all of these other organizations are these powerful spiritual forces and depend upon bringing about a new world order, a new world financial system, a new world currency, and a one world government and a one world religion.
For in him we move and live and have our...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is, of course, dependent upon those of you out there in the listening audience who listen to us, and we're going to play a little music till we get back here, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree with our basic precept that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, I do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you, of course, will go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can certainly listen to our radio programs there, on certainly 9 hours a day on satellite, 4 hours a day live. You can listen to the archive programs. You can listen to the blog. You can listen to the MP3. Help us get the information out that you're not going to get elsewhere. And then, of course, you can read our newsletters. You can certainly watch the DVDs we have at radioliberty.com. We have a new section with links to a lot of YouTube, very short little clips that we think are important to help your education to understand what is really going on today. Now, of course, if you'd like to understand what is happening financially, we have a new CD set. It's a 4-CD set. It's called Financial Armageddon. It's simply a recent update of one we did before, but we put in all new programs because we want you to be able to get an overview of what's going on. Most of what you're reading is designed to confuse you so you won't understand. We have a book that was written in 1889 by Mr. Wahlberg, who was a lawyer, talking about the coming battle. That's the title, The Coming Battle, between the banks and, of course, between the people. And the banks would want to enslave the people and take away their freedom, and the people, of course, would want to be free. But the banks would buy the support of government as they had in the past. And you're going to see a summary of what happened then during the 1700s and 1800s, projecting forward into where we are today. We have a book written in 1935 called The Money Creators by Gertrude Coogan on how banks create money out of nothing. And then, of course, lend it to you either through credit card and charge a 33 or 36% interest on money they've created out of nothing. Greatest scam in the world, and most people have no idea what's happening. We carry the book The Creature from Jekyll Island, written by our good friend Ed Griffin, probably the best single book to explain what's going on. The book The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Anthony Sutton, who was a personal friend, lived here in Santa Cruz for a time, a scholar up at Hoover Institute, and of course until he got too much information out about how the United States was backing the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War, North Vietnamese were financing the Viet Cong or were killing our boys. And actually, after he gave testimony before the Republican, convention back in 1972, he got back to Hoover Institute. They'd taken his name off of the door. They disconnected his telephone, and he had to spend the rest of his time there under his contract, working in the basement of the Hoover Institute, because there are powerful forces who do not want the American people to know the truth. But Professor Sutton's book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, we carry it. We also carry his book on the trilateralists. So those two books are available along with one book called Fiat Money Inflation in France. It's the story of what happened in France in 1789, between 1789 and 1800, when they did exactly what the Federal Reserve is doing today, just simply creating money out of nothing to try to keep the society going. Well, anyway, of course, we have all of these books. We have a new syllabus I put out called Financial Armageddon. Got all sorts of speeches in it that you'll never hear elsewhere. It has the letter I found when I went through Colonel House's papers back at Yale University. You'll actually see it where Franklin Delano Roosevelt is writing to Colonel House saying, as both you and I know, why the government has been owned by financial elements in the major centers since the days of Andrew Jackson. Now, he was writing this letter in 1933. You actually can hold the letter in your hand. The information in that syllabus is vitally important. And so give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, and please pray for Radio Liberty.